praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee served the Lord for more than 7 decades, and these life studies represent his contribution to the ever-expanding understanding of the revelation of the Bible. The purpose of these life studies is to present the truths contained in the Scriptures and to minister the genuine life supply, to solve the common and hard problems found in the Bible, and to open up every book of the Bible through interpretation. We're very happy to bring you selected portions from his speaking today. If you'd like to learn more about the life studies, please visit our website at lifestudy.com. Simply lifestudy.com. Now, here's today's program.
What is the Lord's recovery? A picture is worth 1,000 words, and God has given us a wonderful picture of his recovery in the Old Testament. We're glad you've joined us and hope you stay with us today for a wonderful life study program on the 4 crucial points of the return of Israel from their captivity. This is Matt Miller, and I'm glad John Pester could be here with us today for this wonderful program. John, thanks for coming by the studio today.
You're welcome.
John, Dick Taylor gave us an introduction to the background of this book, but I think it would be good if we can go through this again, since it's so important to see the backdrop of God's speaking here.
Well, Matt, I'm sure Dick covered this point very thoroughly, that the book of Ezra is concerned with the return to Jerusalem of the children of Israel to rebuild the temple, and that the book of Nehemiah is concerned with the repair and the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem. I think to understand this point in how it applies to us today, we have to realize that the return of the captivity relates to God's desire to have a testimony on this earth. In eternity past, God had a desire for a testimony. He even chose us in Christ and put us in Christ, all the redeemed believers. This is so that he could have a testimony of himself. And the reality of this is pictured in the Old Testament, specifically through the whole history of the children of Israel. The whole history of the children of Israel is a type of the church. God chose us in Christ. God promised the children of Israel to be put into the good land. God brought the children of Israel into the good land. God has put the church into Christ. The good land is the center of God's testimony, because the good land in and of itself typifies the all-inclusive Christ that God has promised to the believers, and that God has promised that the believers would be put into, and even that Christ would be put into us. And so the history of the children of Israel in relationship to their captivity is a picture and type of the church's captivity and loss of testimony, and God's desire to recover that testimony and bring the church back to a position where they could be fully and utterly expressing all that God is.
John, how do we know that the children of Israel are a picture of the church? We talked about this right before the program started, and is there some verses that we can give our listeners right now?
Well, Matt, there are a number of verses in the New Testament that point to the fact that Israel is a type of the church. The first verse is in Acts 7:38, in which when Stephen is being stoned, he refers to Israel as the assembly in the wilderness. And then in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 5 and 6, Paul, also speaking about the journeys of the children of Israel through the wilderness, he says that these things were written as a type for us, that these were written for our benefit, indicating that Israel was a type of the church. And I think it's significant to remember that Paul wrote 1 Corinthians to the church in Corinth. And so when he's speaking about Israel in the wilderness and relating it back to the experiences of the Corinthians' spiritual wanderings, he's drawing the parallel connection. So I think these two verses, these two sets of verses, are very critical in establishing the fact that the experiences of the children of Israel in Ezra and Nehemiah can be applied to our experiences in the church. And, of course, commentators throughout history have always associated the nation of Israel as a kind of physical type of the spiritual reality of the church.
But many of them don't take that picture and type past the Passover lamb and the leaving of Egypt through a baptism through the Red Sea, they kind of end the type there.
Right.
And what we want to see is the type goes all the way through to the end of the history of the children of Israel, which ends with a captivity out of the good land into Babylon, and then a recovery back from Babylon to Jerusalem. And that's the recovery we're seeing in Ezra and Nehemiah.
And you know, if you especially realize the good land itself is a type of Christ that God wants to bring all the believers into, then we can understand very clearly why God has such a hatred and such a concern for the idolatry of the children of Israel in the nation of Israel, and would ultimately allow the children of Israel to be carried away in captivity, because there can be no fellowship with light and darkness. And if we realize that the good land is a type of the all-inclusive Christ, we will realize God's real concern for the kinds of abominable behavior that the children of Israel engaged in and conducted among themselves while they were in the good land. This is a real insight into why God really charged the children of Israel to strongly tear down all of the idols and all of the high places when they got into the land of Israel, because there can really be no fellowship in our spiritual life between light and darkness. And if we try to bring worldly, satanic elements into our living, then we will become, like the children of Israel, spiritual captives.
Well, John, it's a very sobering word. It's an enlightening word and an encouraging word. If the listeners will stay with us, I think it'll really be worth it. Let's go to Witness Lee now for the speaking, which was given at the end of December 1994. And I'm mentioning that because I want the listeners to know that Witness Lee, this was one of the last messages he gave in his life study. He started his life study when he was around 70 years old. And when he gave this message, he was nearing the end of his life study, almost 90 years old. So he's a little bit older, and he sounds a little older, but you know what? It's worth it. So stay with us, and we'll be right back for some more fellowship.
This book stresses the return of the children of Israel from their captivity. This return is crucial in 4 points. Firstly, the children of Israel were called by God and separated by God unto himself as his testimony. Israel as a people is a testimony to God. Do you know that the law through Moses is also called the testimony? The law is the testimony. This is why the ark is the ark of testimony. And the tabernacle is the tabernacle of testimony. You know, when mankind got fallen, they became rotten to the uttermost. To that extent, God said, no hope. With these people, no hope. So he came to Abraham to select Abraham and to give a set of law, which is called the testimony to his descendants, expecting that his descendants will be a people only have Jehovah as their God. No idol, no making of idol, and no worship of idol. Always honoring the origin. Then loving each other in purity, in honesty. And these people are the same in expression as God. But Israel broke every one of the Ten Commandments. So eventually Israel became the worst of mankind. After Israel was captured away, God lost such a testimony. Their captivity had annulled this purpose, the purpose to be the testimony of God. Why Satan carried out the captivity of Israel just to annul God's testimony? So, the return of the children of Israel from their captivity recovered the purpose of God's calling of them.
John, there's four crucial items that we're going to cover today in the return of the captives from captivity. And I think we better stop right now and talk about the first one, because this is a crucial one, recovering them back to the purpose of why they were chosen by God to be his testimony. Why don't we develop this a little bit right now?
Well, we have to put this into the context of God's eternal purpose and God's eternal desire to have an expression of himself. And what God sets out to do, he will accomplish. No matter how fallen mankind falls, God has a way, according to his promise, to come in and recover, because his desire is recovery, to bring people to the point where they can express all that he is. And this reality can be seen in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul talks about it's according to the eternal purpose of God to display through the church the multifarious wisdom of God, which means God's testimony is the church. God is made known through the church. Not many people can see God, but by looking at the church, especially the church that is living according to the testimony of God, and in their living have a testimony that comes out of their experience of and enjoyment of Christ.
And in the context of this program, the one that's been recovered,
right,
returned from captivity.
Right. Then God's purpose can be fulfilled. So God's desire above all else is that he would have a testimony. And in order to do that, there is a need for recovery, and we have a God of recovery that can accomplish that.
Very good, John. Let's go on to the second item of these crucial items of the recovery. Here's Witness Lee.
The number two, the captivity of the children of Israel scattered them. In order to have one testimony, God always put them together. And this was why God didn't make them so many. And God didn't give them too big a place. Just a narrow space for them to be one particular people in a particular place in oneness. But the captivity scattered them, some to Assyria, some to Egypt, and some of them to Babylon. Have you found out? Wherever they go, they become that kind of people. When they went to Assyria, they speak Assyrian. When they went to Egypt, they speak Egyptian. When they went to Babylon, they speak Babylonian language. This caused them to be divided, losing their oneness as a people for God's testimony. So they have to come back to the oneness. Their return from their captivity to the unique ground of Jerusalem, you have to read Deuteronomy chapter 12, recovered this oneness. Even so, not 100%. They returned captives. They still bore the accent. Some bore the accent of Egypt. Some bore the accent of Babylon. Some bore the accent of Assyria. Some bore the accent of Persia. So they left captivity, yet captivity would not leave them. They brought back the element of captivity even to Jerusalem.
John, the second item of recovery that we're covering here is this matter of the recovery of the oneness. And Witness Lee referred us to Deuteronomy chapter 12. He said you have to go read Deuteronomy chapter 12. Can you address that in your comments on the word we just heard about God's people being scattered in captivity?
Well, what Deuteronomy chapter 12 describes is it's really the Lord's speaking to the children of Israel just prior to their entering into the good land. And just before they enter into the good land, the Lord charges them to tear down all of the idols in the good land and to come to the place that he has chosen to put his name, indicating that the proper worship of the children of Israel would be in a designated place, one place set up by the Lord himself. Not only that there wouldn't be many idolatrous places of worship, but there simply wouldn't be many places of worship. There would be one place where the children of Israel would come to worship and to praise the Lord. The Lord specifically says, don't do what's right in your own eyes in relationship to not choosing your own place of worship, but do what's right in my eyes. And so it's very important that what God is trying to direct the children of Israel to is into a situation where there is one worship center, one place where all of their worship can be directed to the Lord. And it's their violation of that principle that ultimately results in their captivity and their scattering throughout all of the nations, because they forsook that principle of the one unique place where the Lord himself has selected and the Lord himself has put his name. Because they forsook that place, God had to come in and, in some sense, protect the purity of his testimony by scattering the children of Israel. But he still has this overarching desire to regain that testimony and to call the children of Israel back from their captivity to the place where he has chosen. And that one place is Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's very good, John. I think that we see the oneness is lost, but praise the Lord for the recovery where the oneness is gained back in Jerusalem.
Whenever the oneness is lost, there is captivity. And wherever there's captivity, there's scattering. And the reality of this situation in the church today is that there is manifold divisions within the body of Christ, and all of the believers have been scattered. And as a result of that, many, many Christians are in captivity, and we all bear the certain accents of the places that we have been scattered. Some of us speak Pentecostal. Some of us speak charismatic. Some of us speak fundamental. And there's all these divisions within the body of Christ because we've all been divided from one another to the point that we all bear the characteristics not of the body of Christ, but of the particular place that we have decided is right in our own eyes.
I don't think it's a mistake that the place they were captured away to was Babylon.
Right.
And that word means division and confusion. So just to underscore what you just said, when there's captivity, there's division.
And how can a new believer who has no experience and no knowledge of the Lord be charged to go to the church of your choice when they have no realization of what place to choose from the very beginning? Just the thought, go to the church of your choice, puts into the minds of new believers and many believers that it's a matter of personal choice. It has nothing to do with what God's original intention and desire is as expressed in the scriptures.
In fact, in Deuteronomy 12, it almost says the opposite of meeting the church of your choice. It says, Deuteronomy 12, verse 8 says, you shall not do according to all that we do here today, each man doing all that is right in his own eyes.
Right.
But in verse 5 it says, but to the place which Jehovah your God will choose out of all your tribes to put his name, to his habitation, shall you seek, and there you shall go.
So the Bible gives us no ground to go to the quote church of our choice. We really need to do, if you look in 28, verse 28 of that same chapter, we need to do what's good and right in the eyes of Jehovah.
Well, John, I think we're getting in some hot water here. We better move on and touch the third and fourth crucial items of recovery in Ezra.
God brought them into his promised land through his redemption and salvation, that they might partake of the good land and enjoy it as their portion in God's economy. Because of their failure, they lost this portion of the good land in their captivity. Their return from their captivity recovered their enjoyment of the portion of the good land promised by God. In captivity, you are away from the good land. In other words, in captivity, you are away from Christ. Those captives in Babylon, they were Israelites, but they became away from the good land. They were Israelites without the good land. Today, so many Christians, they have the name of Christ, but they never enjoy him. So we have to come back. to leave the captivity and come back to the proper ground where Christ, the good land, is. Now, the fourth one. God intended to have his house built and his kingdom established on the earth through Israel's participation in and enjoy of the good land. There would have been no way to accomplish this unless the children of Israel returned to the good land from their captivity. Look at today. Millions of Christians around the globe. Where is God's house? And where is God's kingdom? Satan, the enemy of God, he has usurped the earth. He has kept the earth as his house, as his kingdom today. Why God wanted people? He wants a house on this earth. Not just a house for him to be the father, but also a kingdom for him to be the king. He needed a house, he needed a kingdom to carry out his eternal economy.
John, I think we need more time for these last two crucial items of the four crucial items of the Lord's return of the captives from Babylon to Jerusalem and to the good land. The third point of returning to the enjoyment of Christ is very important. Okay, so let's talk about that one, and then we'll move on to the fourth one.
Well, I just appreciate this point because the good land represents in type the all-inclusive Christ. The only way to come into the enjoyment of Christ is to come out of the captivity. And experientially, what this means is that if we in our daily living do not have a living contact with the Lord, a living daily enjoyment of the Lord, it's really a sign that we're in some form of spiritual captivity, whether that's to something of the world, whether that's something satanic and demonic that is occupying us and filling our lives. To not be in the enjoyment of the Lord is a sure sign that in some aspect of our daily living, we are in some form of spiritual captivity. And I just appreciate the point that Christ is our good land. He is the full and bountiful supply of all that we need. And when we come out of the captivity, when we come out of the situations of division and the situations of scattering, there is an opportunity for us to experience all of the riches of Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Okay, John, let's go on to the last one, the fourth one, and that's the establishing of God's kingdom and the building of his house. That's the fourth crucial item of the Lord's recovery of his captives. We've only got a few minutes here, so let's wrap up on that one.
This is really the biggest point because it reflects back on God's eternal purpose. It's one thing for us to have a daily enjoyment and experience of Christ, and that's wonderful. But the purpose of that experience and enjoyment of Christ is to provide a house for God himself and to bring in God's kingdom. God desires a place of rest, a place to dwell, and he can dwell in and among his people who are experiencing and enjoying him. This gives God pleasure. And out of that pleasure and out of that dwelling and enjoyment, there is a way for God's dominion to be manifested throughout the earth. And God desires to have a kingdom where he can rule and reign openly through his people, with his people. And it is absolutely essential, if God's kingdom is to come in, there has to be a group of people who take the stand that they will come back to the God-ordained way of meeting. They will come back to the place where God has put his name. They will leave all the situations of division and confusion, forsaking the idols of their captivity, and come back to the good land, come back to the enjoyment of Christ, so that God's image and dominion can be manifested and expressed throughout the universe. This is what God desires.
Thanks, John. We've run out of time, and I wish we could get into this more, but the radio stations just have other programs to play, and they won't let us keep going. So thanks for coming into the studio today.
You're welcome.
On behalf of John Pester, this is Matt Miller. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. The focus of Living Stream is the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China in the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Witness Lee brought this ministry first to Taiwan, then later to North America, and eventually to the entire world. For more than 20 years, he spoke these life study messages, unveiling how each book of the Bible shows God's eternal plan. God, through Christ, wants to dispense his life and nature into redeemed man, so that man would become God's expression, enlargement, counterpart, and habitation. These studies go far beyond mere doctrine and unveil a personal, practical, and experiential Christ. In these short 26-minute programs, we summarize and condense Witness Lee's rich speaking. But to enjoy all the riches in these messages, we hope you'll visit our website at lifestudy.com. There, you can read all of the Life Study messages absolutely free of charge. You can even create your own Life Study reading schedule or download more Life Study audio programs just like this one, and all at no cost. Again, the website, lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.